Your Excellency, the Governor-General, Anand Sachinand and Mrs. Sachinand, the Honourable David Cunliffe, veterans and members of the armed forces here today, members of the diplomatic corps, ladies and gentlemen, and last but not least, the young people represented here today. On behalf of the Mayoress and myself as the Mayor of Auckland, it is a privilege and an honour to be here at St Matthew's this morning in this commemoration service, this very important commemoration service, when we look back over history and we acknowledge the sacrifices that have been made to preserve and keep New Zealand and what we stand for today. And it is hugely important that we do take opportunity in this busy life of ours to stand back and reflect, to reflect on the lessons of history, to reflect on the past, and by doing so, to rededicate ourselves to a future where we learn from the mistakes of the past and we build on the sacrifices that have been made. As you're aware at the moment, we have a city divided by an issue as to whether we have a rugby stadium down on the waterfront or at Eden Park. But the point I make is that that debate, as serious as it seems at the heat of the moment, is inconsequential when we look at what has occurred in the past. And we may well make the reflection that we only have the privilege of having such a debate at the moment as a result of the sacrifices that have been made in the past. And therefore we look at the moment at economic consequences of what we're doing and where we're going. We look at the role of sport, and it may well be argued that sport has replaced warfare. And we realise then how privileged and how lucky we are in this country of New Zealand and with the issues that we face now. It is very, very important that we do take the opportunity to reflect, thank and acknowledge those that gave their lives, those that made sacrifices, those that came back from warfare very different to the way that they went, to those that made sacrifices here in New Zealand, looking after New Zealand when troops were abroad. And although the focus today is on World War I and Armistice Day, it is right and proper that we also reflect on service and sacrifice made by the numerous other wars where New Zealand has been represented. And as we're well aware, New Zealand has been represented in a large number of places around the world, going right back to the century before last, right through last century, and even now, in various peacekeeping roles, we are exposing our armed services to conflict, to risk and danger in the name of world stability. So as Mayor of Auckland, it is a privilege to be here today, to take the opportunity to reflect, to personally thank all of you that have been involved in producing a country that we have got today. And I can do no more but once again say those immortal words, we will remember them.
Tēnā koutou, te whānau o Tamaki Makaurau. Tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri, nō mai haere mai, haere mai ki tēnei whare karakia a te atua. Welcome here to St Matthew in the city. Now let us bow our heads in prayer. O God of the living, in whose embrace all peoples live, in whatever world or condition they may be, we send our love in prayer to those whose names and deeds and dwelling place are known to you, giving you thanks for our memories of them. Remembering today those men and women, especially those from the city and from our own families, who gave their lives in the world wars, those who survived but were wounded to the end of their days in heart or mind or body. And remembering too those who have died in wars since, in Southeast Asia, in the Middle East, in Africa, Afghanistan, Iraq. Turn to yourself, O God, the hearts and wills of rulers and peoples, that a new world may arise where men and women live as friends in the bond of peace. Amen.
For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck that which has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
The Gospel is that of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God."
Thank you.
To be faithful to the dead is to be faithful to life. To embrace and enjoy life is a holy act. Embracing the fullness of life is the best way to honor the service men and women of the past. And so this morning, I want to offer you a few ideas or hints how we might do that. Firstly, make time to stop. There's a child's road safety maxim that says, stop, look, and listen. This could equally be applied to those on a spiritual journey. We need to stop when the pressure of life says go. We need to look when we're being told to act. And we need to listen when we're being exhorted to speak. Cycling round the waterfront in the morning, as I often do, penance for all those pastries, you understand. It takes only a few moments to stop, dismount, look, listen, breathe deeply, say, gee, it's good to be alive, before remounting and cycling off. In this noisy, busy world, we need the courage to pause and give time to our soul. Make time to stop. Secondly, make time for the earth. Remember those days when most rural towns had a bend in the road where metallic debris was discarded? There was a belief that rubbish would decompose or rust away, that the earth would cleanse and renew itself. That belief is now dead and gone. We now know that we must care for the earth like many of us care for our aging parents. We can't presume the earth will always be able to do what it's always done. To be faithful to life requires faithfulness to that which nurtures life, plants, animals, water, the climate. Make time for the earth. Thirdly, make time for outsiders. There are numerous people who feel themselves to be outside of the boundaries of normal. Whether it's due to wealth, health, sexuality, race, or circumstance, they experience life very differently and often oppressively. We need to nurture the kindness that steps around or over barriers. Normal is a word we need to be wary of. Kindness is a word we need to put into practice. Smiling at people, saying hi, communicates that they matter. It also conveys the hope that we will all become better, more hospitable neighbors to each other. Make time for outsiders. And lastly, make time for humor. Absurd and ludicrous things happen every day. We just need a pause and let that tickle touch our funny bone. I remember once receiving a letter from a misguided environmentalist concerned about the impact of burying bodies in a cemetery. Being the curator of a cemetery at the time, I responded in a somewhat flippant fashion, commenting upon the spirituality of worms. Imagine my amazement when I received an additional letter from the lady, taking worm religion very seriously. I hope and like to believe she was smiling when she wrote it. Make time to laugh. Today, let us honor the soldiers, sailors, and airmen, and all who died in war, by remembering what is faithfully worth preserving, our soul, our earth, our hospitality, and our humor.
Mist rose. blown by a chill breeze from the south. On a bleaked, tussocked hillside above a little township called Cave in South Canterbury. There stands there a plain stone cenotaph. And from my childhood memory of a bitterly cold Anzac morning, I looked and saw some 25 names of the young men of that village carved into one face under the title The Great War. As a child, I wondered what was great about it. The little town of Cave today would be hard-pressed to find 25 young men. It gave its all. The truth is that New Zealand gave its all in that war. From a country of little over 1 million people, some 100,000 casualties. No country of the empire suffered more heavily. And so this weekend, as we mark the passing of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, when the bloody carnage of the war to end wars ground to its bitter and exhausted halt, we still ask why. We ask, moreover, what we can take from such sadness as comfort, as wisdom, as token that those brave and no doubt terrified young men we sent overseas to serve their country did not die in vain. For the young shearers and rouseabouts and farmhands of those days, no doubt war promised a heady mix of duty and adventure, unlikely ever to travel abroad as we now take for granted. For some, no doubt, it held the promise of some kind of OE. But the same ships that carried those men overseas had for decades before carried the trade of empire, our mutton, our wool, our butter, spices from India and the East, petroleum from the Middle East, copper and nickel and iron and slaves from Africa. And as the 19th century grew to its close and the 20th dawned, so those winds of empires began to blow in cross-current. Competition intensified, protectionism ensued, tension erupted. It is as bad to think of the slaughterers of World War I as an accidental cascade of events following from the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand in Sarajevo, triggering as it did its web of alliance and counter-alliance. It is equally galling, but more insightful, to see World War I not as accidental, but as inevitable, of the proud towers of competing empires crashing down in mutual destruction. And the world was forever changed. Not only the maps of Europe were redrawn, but the customs and courtesies and certitudes of the Victorian era were shattered, not in part by the war, but also by the reorganization of command and the emancipation of women pressed into the workforce. But unfortunately, for the brave young men from Cave, military technology had changed even more quickly. We cannot go where they went. For one machine gun had the firepower of 300 rifles, and they marched into them, line abreast, time after time. At places like the Somme and Passchendaele, and in the height of the slaughter in that industrial mincer which beggars comprehension, New Zealand lost the best part of 2,000 men in 2 hours. So too, the extraordinary bravery of those men who could not have been oblivious to their own odds. So today, more than anything else, we commemorate their bravery, their service, their sacrifice to preserve that which as a country we hold to be good and true. But they ask us, what have we learned these past 90 years? We have learned to honor those who fell or who returned bringing with them the scars of soul that would not heal. Each year at Anzac and at Armistice, the crowds grow larger and more solemn. We have also learned that New Zealand's troops were the equal of any of the world's finest. We gave a generation to the wars of Europe. We learned to stand up for our own identity and chain of command. Out of it was forged an identity, Anzacs and Kiwis, and we took steps towards nationhood, steps that continue to this day. We learned that wars do not end wars. 21 years after Armistice Day, Germany invaded Poland and the long and ghastly sequel began. So, we have learned to put as much sweat and grit and courage into building a just peace, for war, while occasionally unavoidable, too often represents a failure to solve our problems by other, more intelligent means. We learned that New Zealand's extraordinary international commitment must continue, and it does now in peacekeeping and peace building from the Sinai to Timor to Afghanistan to the Solomons. And we learned, of course, that those who forget the lessons of history inevitably repeat them. But those lessons of history may have seemed remote to our young men buried in the mud of Flanders or the dust of Gallipoli as they whistled "It's a Long Way" to Tipperary and then sang "It's Abide With Me." And we hold this remembrance service here in St. Matthew's, surely one of the most beautiful churches in New Zealand, built to inspire us that all who worship in it should know the love and truth of God. And as we remember the nobility of courage and sacrifice and the terrible slaughter of war, we pray for God's guidance to live better in this world. If His grace, His humility, His love truly abides in us, if we can bring that spirit to bear on the world around us, then we will truly be remembering the young men of Cave, of all our hamlets and hapu, with a tribute fit for heroes. Their service and our remembrance will not be in vain.
Creator God, we ask that you be with those who have power in this world, power to move words, power to move wealth, power to move weapons. We ask that you open their hearts. We ask that you open their eyes and open their ears to those who have no power. We give thanks for those who do use power, who use power for peace, who through their words, their actions, their prayers and meditations seek for peace unceasingly. We give thanks. Creator God, we give thanks for those who returned. We give thanks for those who return to spread the word of peace. We grieve and remember those who did not. For those who returned and those who didn't, we still ask for peace. Creator God, we ask that in our own lives, we seek the perfect peace we so often are desperate to find. We seek peace between nations, peace between faiths, peace between peoples, peace between each other, and peace within ourselves. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.